What's up, women? How are you? This is the Women Who Lead Summit. And I wanted to talk to you today about business, right? Because to me, success isn't just about hitting those goals. It's about building a sustainable, fulfilling, and a purpose-driven life, right? But how do we know if we're truly on the right path? Today, we're going to dive deep into the KPIs of success because it's not just about numbers, but about mindset and habits and strategies that create those long-term lasting success, okay? Our next speaker knows exactly how to help you, all of you amazing women out here who are professionals, overcome burnout and reconnect with yourself to step into that life that you are meant to live. I want you to meet Jessica Berg. She's the founder of the Moon Rock Wellness, a transformational coaching business designed to help high achievers break free from stress and exhaustion. Now, with over 20 years as a corporate leader, Jessica shifted her focus to helping professionals create a purpose, clarity, joyful life. I am so excited she is here. She is fully certified in breathwork and Reiki and sound immersion and meditation. Y'all heard me, okay? Jessica brings a holistic approach to success, helping her clients tap into their inner power for profound transformation. Now, if you ever felt like you were chasing success, but you're still feeling a little bit empty and drained, I hear you and I got you. This session is about to shift everything for you. So go grab your pen, go grab your workbook and your pad, okay? Because we're about to take some notes. Let's give a warm welcome to Jessica Berg. Welcome.
Hi, that's quite the intro. I need to, to record that for myself and have that be my intro for anything.
So awesome. Yeah, it's so good to see you and have you here. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me. Honestly, it's an honor and just... it's something that is very close to my heart as someone who is entrepreneur, right? And to be able to support and encourage other people on this journey, it means everything to me. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. It means everything to me too. I think it's, you know, the overwhelm, the burnout, all that stuff is something that I'm seeing more and more and more and more. It's interesting, isn't it, Jessica? Like the more information we have, the more burnt out we feel, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And I also feel that, especially with like social media and the internet, it's easier for us to see where other people are and we start comparing. So yes. Then we start getting in our own head and then the burnout kind of, it just becomes its own entire different beast.
Yes. And you know, what's interesting is it's so sad that we do that. Naturally, we do that, but we have to catch ourselves, Jessica, because we're also comparing ourselves to people who are actually not telling the truth, right? Some people are, but a lot of people aren't. And sometimes you're comparing yourself to a false identity and then you don't even realize that. And now you're caught up in the burnout, right? Yeah. And that's why I wanted, you know, pros like you on here to actually give these women truth and for them to have some kind of breath in them and to understand that they are worthy of having the success that they're seeking. And success means so many different things to so many different people, right? 100%. And so I wanted to start there with you, Jessica. I wanted to start with the right KPIs. What the freak are they, right? So I know that in business, we often like measure through metrics, right? Like revenue and what we have and all that growth, achievements, whatever. But I want you to speak to all of us about the real KPIs, right? That long-term success for that fulfillment that we're looking for. Let's start there.
So I love this question. And it all comes down to, I think all of us, when we're running a business, we have the $KPI, right? And that's important for sure. I think that kind of gives us our drive, our motivation. It's that North Star that we're shooting for. And we also need to make sure that one, we're breaking that dollar sign into achievable and tangible KPIs, right? Maybe it's that we need to, how do we get to that dollar sign? Maybe it's increasing our traffic and our overall like outreach, the touch points that we have. Maybe it's how our brand is seen and translated in the world. So maybe there's branding. Maybe it's overall messaging and our offer, making sure that the way that we're talking about our offer is resonating with people. So there's all these different elements of our business that's going to drive to that high level dollar sign. So I think that's one of the things to think about, is that when we think of success KPIs, yes, we can have this like beacon that we're striving for from a dollar sign perspective, but there has to be, in order to get there, there's all these other different levels of success KPIs. So that's one piece of it. Having a versatile set of success KPIs to get you to that dollar sign. The other piece that I feel a lot of entrepreneurs overlook is, in addition to having that dollar sign KPI or that big professional KPI for your business, you also have to have a personal KPI that you're striving for. And really, this kind of comes down to your why and the vision of, why are you doing this in the first place? Are you doing it to get more time autonomy? Are you doing it so that you can have better health physically, emotionally, mentally? Are you doing it so that you can have more quality time with your family? And are you doing it so that you can impact others? So it's really making sure that, in addition to having that dollar sign KPI, that you're also equally prioritizing and focusing on that personal KPI, because that's really what is going to be your fuel to be able to hit that professional KPI for the long haul. And that's the one that I think a lot of people overlook.
Yeah, because I don't think we think about it that way, right? I think when we first get into business, we are looking at the dollar signs. And that actually sometimes is what causes the burnout too, because 100%. Then that's all that, right? That's all we're focusing on. And yes, we're not focusing on the why. Why are we even freaking doing this thing? Especially if you're getting into coaching, right? Because you have to show up for people. It's not just about the dollar sign. Like, you gotta show up, right? Yes. Jessica? Yes.
And when you focus, and this has happened to me before, right? And I've literally had a coach coach me, because coaching is something I will always invest in for the rest of my life.
Yep.
But even when I was in the early stages of my journey, when I was like, I got to hit those 10K months. I just left my corporate job. I was like bringing in a huge amount of, like, from our family dynamic, like I was a big chunk of that family income.
Same. Yeah.
So I was putting all this pressure on myself, chasing after that dollar sign. And when I was putting so much focus and emphasis on the dollar sign, it was completely getting me off track with why I was doing this in the first place, to help people and to have a more balanced life. And it was also, this is the thing that kind of was an aha moment for me, when I focus so much on that dollar sign, it puts the power on an external force. Where when you have the versatile success KPIs and you make sure that, like, one, they're bite-sized, but also you have the personal KPIs, that then brings the power back to yourself versus just chasing that dollar sign. So that was a big eye-opener for me.
That is so true. And, you know, I love that you also, like, said to them, yeah, you know, the dollar sign KPIs are important, right? Your reach, your messaging, your branding, that's important, of course.
You have to make money to keep doing this.
Right, exactly, exactly. And I think that that's another thing, right? It's so funny. I speak to so many women, because I have a lot of women in my coaching program, and they come at this as so many different angles. Like, some of them will come at it at the dollar sign KPI, right? And then some of them just want to, I just want to help everyone. I'm like, oh God, here we go. You can't help everyone. I'm like, okay, let's reel you in, because you don't want to speak. Believe me, you don't want to speak to everyone.
No,
we think we do. We think we do, until we get that person in our program that we're like, oh no, I don't want to speak to anyone.
The riches are in the niches. You've got to niche down for your own sanity so too. True.
Right. That's not just a saying. That is a true thing, ladies. Listen up. Right. And I wanted to talk, like, go right into the next one, which is the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs make. Right. Because a lot of these women are starting to grow their business, but some are just getting into it. And so I wanted you to, like, break down for us, like, the top mistakes that you're seeing professionals are making when they're pursuing the success that actually lead to burnout instead of that fulfillment. Right. So they think they're doing this and they're going after it, but they're probably making a huge mistake. What do you think are the top ones?
So, kind of going back to what we were talking about when we first dove in, was the comparison game. And one of the things that I, the mottos that I like to live by is to avoid the three C's, right? You don't want to compare, you don't want to criticize, and you don't want to complain. The comparison game is a, like a massive momentum killer when it comes to entrepreneurship. And it's so easy for us because when we are starting, anyone is starting out in this journey of entrepreneurship, you're going to face all of those familiar saboteurs, right? You have limiting beliefs because you're stepping into this new journey, this new path. You have fear of failure. What are people going to think of me? So you have all of these like barriers and limiting beliefs that are kind of holding you back. And so it's natural as human beings for us to then do the comparison game, because then that's validating the emotions that we're feeling. And the trap that happens there is, to your point, Nina, yes, a lot of people are out there saying, make your $1 million in your first year. That is not the reality of the game of entrepreneurship. If there's anything that I've learned, it's that it is a slow game. It's worth every single part of the journey, but it is a bit by bit approach. And the other thing that I would say is that when you are doing this comparison game, if you're looking at someone that's 3 years down the road, then you're not being true and honoring the phase of the journey that you're in. Because that person who's 3 years down the road also was in their first year and in the early years of their entrepreneurship, and they did have stumbling blocks. They did have limiting beliefs and all of the things that you may be experiencing now, someone 3 years ahead of you also had. So it's just, it goes back to honoring what phase you're at in your business. And in the early days of your journey, it's allowing you to be okay with fumbling, to be okay with just being okay. That's the other thing that I think a lot of people do is if you're a high achiever, I'm guilty of that, perfectionist, guilty. One of the biggest blocks that I had in my early days was that I knew that I was starting out in coaching and I didn't have all this experience to be able to stand confidently and say, I know exactly what I'm about to do. And it was actually a yoga teacher when I was getting my yoga teacher training, who her words stuck in my head, where she was telling us, all these like little yogis were about to go teach our classes for the first time. And she said to us, she's like, you have to be okay with being okay at the beginning. You have to. And allow yourself to be okay. And that gives yourself grace. It gives yourself permission to learn, to fumble, and knowing that it's temporary, because every time you allow yourself to be okay, you put yourself out there and then you're going to get that much better. And it's through the experience, it's through the doing, and it's through putting yourself outside of your comfort zone that's going to allow you to build that experience, build that confidence, and to further stand in your ground. So the two things that I would say is, one, stop comparing, because one, you don't know where someone's at. Two, they might be putting on a fake facade. And three, they were maybe 3 years there. They might be in a totally different phase of their journey. And they're not in the beginning stages. And then the second thing I would say is, allow yourself to be in the phase of the journey that you're in. And with that point, sorry, really quick, when you are in the more mature phases of your journey, you are very likely going to be looking back at the early days and be like, God, I didn't realize how good I had it at that time. I wish I had let myself relish in it more. So those would be my two big ones.
Yeah, I was popping back up because I'm like, oh my God, I so agree. I think, you know, I think the other thing is to not do this journey alone.
Yes.
You cannot do this journey alone. Don't do it alone, guys.
Oh, I just got because, goosebumps.
Yeah. That's one of the things I think had me crying the most at night in the beginning, is when I was doing it alone. I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't know where to go. I honestly didn't. And I started back in 2002 in leadership. It was called leadership then. It's called coaching now. But, you know, it was very lonely and very hard. And I just remember when I first started getting back into coaching, when I went into leadership, into coaching, was like 2016 or 17 or something like that. Then I realized, holy shit, I can actually go faster when I have somebody to do this with, you know, like when I have another person, another coach, somebody next to me. It also changed the game for me when I realized that we are actually not in comparison with each other. We're collaborating with each other.
100%.
Right?
Inspiring each other and supporting each other.
Yes, yes, yes. And I wish we would get more into that mentality as 100%. Opposed to comparing ourselves, you know? And you'd be surprised. I reached out to someone that I've been following for a while. And I said to her, girl, I really love what you're doing in the world. I just sent her a message. I really love what you're doing in the world. Good for you. Because you just started a, homeschooling.
Yeah.
And she immediately emailed me back and was like, girl, I need help. I am burnt out. I am tired. I am stressed. She goes, can I hop on a call with you? And I'm like, wow. Right? She shouldn't be doing that alone.
No.
You know? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And I love that you point that out because it's interesting. So if anyone who's comes from the like corporate world or mm-hmm. you left your business to start to your own journey, I think the biggest shock that I experience and that other people who I've talked to is that you are doing it alone. All of a sudden you don't have a team there when you're in the thick of something challenging. The best part is the people that you're surrounded by that becomes your little work family that you guys are kind of, you know, lifting mm-hmm. each other up. And I actually, one of my goals of 6 months ago when I was like realizing that this was the big piece that I was needing and yearning for in my life, I was like, I need to find my new work family. I need to find mm-hmm. my new mm-hmm. circle of freaking my team that I can call on and be like, girl, I am struggling with this. I launched this. I didn't have these people sign up I can't figure out like I'm too much in my head. And I found that. And what that does is one, it confirms that you're not alone. Every part where you're at is exactly where so many other people are at. And it gives you support in helping navigate the journey. Because I'll be honest, my husband, God bless him, he is not the person who's going to be able to really understand what I'm going through.
And same.
I don't want to keep putting that on him, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to find your work fam in the entrepreneurial really world. So I love that call out.
And also the systems. You know, if you got your systems in place, where you have a good lead magnet or something that can reply to people, like some, you know, sequence, it's going to make your life a bit easier too. Mm-hmm. And we have those systems set up already at our jobs when we're working. And so you're right. When I left corporate and I started doing this on my own, I was like, uh-oh. I didn't know I had to be a marketer, a funnel builder, a copywriter. Salesperson. Yeah.
All of it.
For real. It was something. It was a shocker, right? And so I know that now, you know, you've been in the game for a while and you're helping all of these high achievers. Mm-hmm. I'm a recovering high achiever and perfectionist mm-hmm. myself. Mm-hmm. And you're helping them become, you know, get out of, overcome burnout, overcome that lackluster life that they're feeling like they're living right now, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted you to talk to all of, because I know that the women who are here, because I've spoken to a lot of them, are really in the same place where they are high achievers and they're perfectionists and everything has to look good and be good and all that kind of stuff. But I also know that we can get burnt out and don't know what the warning signs are, right? Mm-hmm. So what are some of the warning signs that someone may be out of alignment, right? Because I know for me, my ass was out of alignment and I just kept going until I broke. Like I was sick. You know, I right now I am thankfully getting back to some sort of health with my autoimmune conditions, which I got while working my ass off, you know, 16-hour days because I had to be perfect.
Yeah.
And so I want you to talk to us about that.
Oh, the warning signs of burnout. It can creep up. And I would say the loudest one is you're unhappy and I like, Nina, that you called out like being sick, because your body, when you don't listen to the warning signs, when you don't listen to your inner intuition, when you don't listen to the subtle signs that your body is telling you, like, hey, I'm tired, I'd like to rest, or hey, you know, maybe let's not work, let's go outside and play. You know, if you're not listening to that yearning that your body is telling you, that your intuition is kind of tapping you on, then your body will shut down. Your body will say, all right, you didn't listen to the warning signs. Now we're going to sound the alarms. You are sick now. Now you have to just literally lay in bed and we are forcing you to rest. And that is how it works, right? But to avoid getting to that place where your body is literally in a mayday situation, it's really important for you to just allow yourself to take a pause and ask yourself, am I happy right now? And a lot of times what happens, especially as high achievers, especially when we're putting pressure on ourselves as an entrepreneur, we're kind of building the planes as we're flying them. We're moving at the pace of our mind and not at the pace of our body. And all of us are human beings, and we are not meant to operate in that fashion. And so we really have to start creating space in our days so that we allow ourselves to have pauses, that we allow ourselves to nourish our mind, body, and soul. Because when we are only focused on the financial health of our lives, we are depleting the health of our physical being, our mental being, and our emotional being. And guess what? If you don't have those three in good condition, then your financial situation is not going to be long lasting, and you're not really even going to freaking enjoy it. So that's why it's so important, if not more important, to make sure that you are giving yourself self-care, that you are giving yourself time every day, that you have a practice to bring into your everyday that nourishes your mind, that allows you to slow down, that allows you to be connected to your body, because we cannot move at the pace of our minds. We are not constantly moving in this masculine energy of productivity output. It's just not how we are designed to operate for the long term. So it's making sure that you're checking in with yourself and you're asking yourself, am I happy? Because if you're not happy, then you got to go back to your whys. Why are you doing this in the first place? So.
Girl, yes. I've been in the game for a while and I still like, what am I doing?
No. And you know? We do it for ourselves, and it's easy when we get, it happens. And it's not to say that like it's never going to happen again. It's just when you build the tools and the habit to allow yourself to slow down and check in with yourself, that's when you can start to course correct faster, where instead of like blindly crashing and burning.
Yeah, I agree. I've been lately getting more into like subconscious like hypnosis and meditation and stuff like that. Cause I always like was interested, and I would do it a little bit, but now I'm really getting into it. And because I realized the shift of my energy and, you know, what I'm thinking. And, you know, cause I'm in perimenopause right now. Right. But what I'm realizing is, like, for instance, this past 2 weeks, nightmare in my life, because somebody hacked into my website. Yeah. Was able to take down all my emails. It's been a freaking nightmare. On top of that, got into my bank accounts, emptied out my business bank account, and I'm having trouble getting the money back. It's been a complete nightmare, right? I noticed yesterday I was triggered. And I started getting hot flash after hot flash after hot flash. At first I'm like, oh, it's because I'm perimenopausal, but it's not. I realized that my body was speaking to me, girl, you are on overdrive. You know what I'm saying? Like, calm down, pull back. You need to take care of yourself right now, because I'm stressed, right? I have to pay my staff. I have to do all this stuff, and I have no money in the account. I'm like, oh my God, you know? So I wanted to talk to you about that, because I know that this is something you are big on, right? The role of mindset and energy and well-being and all of that. And you integrate, you know, breath work, you integrate meditation, energy healing into your coaching. And I wanted you to maybe give us a way that we can start doing that.
Yeah.
And how these practices are going to directly impact our success, our productivity, our personal growth, because I'm going to take some of those tips and start them tonight, Jessica, tonight, because I need it.
Oh my gosh. The body. I mean, it's funny because we are trained to, especially because the way that the pace at which society moves, right? We are masculine driven society and culture where productivity, outcome, more. We come from a scarcity mindset because we always think we need more. And so we are going back to like moving at the speed of our mind versus the speed of our body. When our body is talking to us, a lot of times we override it. We we're hungry. Okay, well, we're just going to eat on the go. Or we're stressed at the, say you had a really stressful week, and on Friday, the only thing that you can think of that's going to calm your nervous system is having a drink, right? So we turn to like escapism or numbness because we're not listening to our bodies. And that's where a lot of things where like the center of what I have started to, the center of what really pivoted my entire trajectory was when I started to tap inward and listen to my body, connect to my body, and then everything else started kind of falling in place. So to explain what that looks like, at the core of my program is I have 6 core healing pillars. And these are 6 core healing pillars that I have supported me and that also I have seen proven to support my clients. And essentially these 6 core healing pillars, it's like a 3-ring circle, right? At the center of your circle is like your value-led life. It is like your dream state life, the vision of the life that you are wanting to embody and that you're going after. And then outside of that is you have your structure. These are your daily habits. And that is where you're having more space. You are having you're exercising, you're establishing boundaries. So you have your structure to support the vision coming into life. And then even on the outer ring are these 6 core healing pillars to either further support or activate you bringing that structure and the vision into life, right? And so those 6 core healing pillars are connection to the body, peace of mind, connection to nature, voice activation, creative expression, and connection to others. And if you think about it, it's a lot about like the connection of all of those things help you tap more deeply to the connection to yourself. And I always, always, always start with connection to the body. Because if you are not connected to your body, that means that you are operating all in the brain. That means you are operating, the ego has the driver's seat of everything you're doing. You are making fear-based decisions. You are letting your limiting beliefs kind of dictate how you navigate throughout your life. And when you bring the focus back to your body, when you connect to your body, 1, you become more grounded, 2, the anxiety starts to dissipate, and 3, you start to build the innate power and recognize it within your own self. So a couple of ways that like building connection to your body look like is 1, obviously like movement of any sort, like allowing yourself to create space or allowing yourself to have time each day to have some type of movement so that you're nourishing your body, you're connecting to your body. That could be freaking dancing in the kitchen. It could be going on a walk. It could be doing yoga. It could be exercise, like on a treadmill, whatever it might be. But some type of movement that you have that you're giving to your body and you're nourishing it. There's also like the mindfulness of listening to the body signs when it's hungry, when it's tired, when it's thirsty, when it wants to move. Like you have a 2-way communication, you know, so that it doesn't have to only scream with a blowhorn to get your attention. And then the other piece is to have gratitude for the freaking magical being that your body is. Your breath is the most powerful tool that we have to overcome anything that we are faced with when it comes to our fears and when it comes to anxiety. And a lot of times we look for external tools and things to help us overcome challenges when really, when we bring our awareness and power back to the breath, it allows us to find the power within ourselves. So that's where, like, when I do all of my like energetics and wellness and everything, it's tapping on those 6 core healing pillars, knowing that those are there for you every day, but it's really like focusing first and foremost on your connection to the body. And a lot of times that's movement, yes, but it's more importantly, it's your connection to your breath. And I have a couple tools that I could share, obviously, that help with like navigating anxiety, but also allowing you to build your stamina to tolerate stress. So that's kind of like an overview of the program I walk my clients through.
I actually do want you to share those tips, which I'm going to, you know, when you talked about, this is I don't know. This just made me think about this. When you talked about your breath is the most powerful thing, right? Mm-hmm. It made me think about recently, I was reading the story of Christopher Reeve, right? Mm-hmm. Our, the older Superman, yeah, who passed away. And it made me think about when he used to breathe into the tube to actually move his car or his wheelchair, things like that. And how powerful that was for him to have breath, even though he couldn't move his body, right?
Yeah.
And when you said that, that's what I thought about. Like, we don't realize the amazingness of what we have, not just in our breath, but the fact that we woke up today and many people had plans and didn't make it. Mm-hmm. Life is about experiences. It's about the beauty of it and the hardship of it, right? But at least we can experience it. And I think I want everybody to just be encouraged that even if you're going through a hard time right now, this too shall pass. You know, not everything stays forever and ever and ever. Everything shifts and changes. So I love that you talked about, you know, having gratitude for your body, having gratitude for that breath, right? Having movement every day. I believe in that. I move every single day, even if it's just taking a 30-minute walk, even if it's just dancing with my dogs in the kitchen, because I do that.
Weird, yes, but I dance with that. The dogs. Yeah. And I mean, I do. Especially with, I love that. You know, it's especially for women, right? We are taught at a very young age that our body is something that is an aesthetic. And that is bullshit. Excuse me. But
it is.
I mean, when I think of, when you think of like what your body is doing for you, every millisecond of your life,
it is
reproducing, it is keeping you alive, it is functioning, it is processing. And then, you know, as a woman who's bared children, I have stretch marks and I have like parts of my body that will never bounce back into what it was before. And instead of looking at that and being like, oh, I should get a tummy tuck, you know, or oh, I should change this with criticism and judgment towards myself. It's like looking at my body and being like, that body grew to human beings.
Exactly.
Yes, like exactly. Badass body,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Like, and finding gratitude and strength in that. And that's where I just having that connection with our body and the breath. It's like your breath is literally the first thing you do when you enter this world is you take a gasp of air. The last thing you do when you leave this world is you take a gasp of air. So it's like your breath is like from the very beginning to the very end. It is the thing that is just the constant that's driving everything. And your breath is driving your nervous system. So if you are feeling anxious and you are feeling nervous, one of the best ways to get out of your head and tap into the body is to take an inhale and then have a longer exhale, because scientifically that's going to activate your parasympathetic nervous system. So there's like the breath is like scientifically, if you want to get really, you know, use some of those jargon, like it's moving different hormones in your body you can, if you're tired, you can do certain breathing to kind of wake you up a little bit, you know? So it's just, it's an incredibly powerful tool. So instead of grabbing like that third cup of Java, or instead of grabbing that like pill to make you not anxious, instead, there's so much power within yourself, within your breath, because the body is a freaking magnificent being.
Yes.
So that's
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And I think when people, I've taken clients in breathwork sessions before, and I love taking clients through their first somatic breathwork, because when they come out of it and they like sit up, the revelations that they've had where their breath, all they're doing is breathing, but their body, their breath is allowing their body to release things that they didn't even know they were keeping trapped inside.
Yeah.
And the freedom that they feel and the self-confidence that they feel following that is just, that's what it's all about. It's about not seeking your self-worth and your strength from external forces that you need to be fixed. It's that it's all within yourself. And that's where all of those healing modalities come from. It's like, it's all within you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we just have we just have too much overload. That's really what it is. And we, you know, back in the day, you went to a friend's home to have a cup of coffee. Like, you guys sat at the table and talked. Like, it was very different than it is right now. So we're always stimulated, and our brains are, they haven't evolved in millions of years. Our brains have not evolved. Right. And so we are constantly, this stimulation overload is a real thing. And that's why I think, like, and especially I have ADHD, so I'll have about 50 tabs open and I'm working on all the tabs and I'm doing all this thing. And then I'm wondering, why am I like not breathing? Like, sometimes I'll find myself going, I'll catch myself like not breathing. And I'm like, Neen, that's not good. Your body is literally telling you there's stress here. I can't even breathe. And you're not even paying attention, mm-hmm. right? It's kind of like you said, like, we have to pause and pay attention. So I'd love you to talk to all of us here about a client of yours, somebody that you've brought through this amazingness, right? Like somebody who, a powerful testimony or a case study that you've had, that you've helped them transform their mindset and you've helped them create like incredible results by working with you. I'd love to hear that kind of story.
If I had to pick, it would probably be, my client, Maggie. When she came to me, she was working 50 plus hour weeks. She's a VP at one of the top digital agencies globally. So she had a lot of pressure from a professional standpoint, and she was a notorious, like, people pleaser, perfectionist, you know, all the things that we've talked about today. And she is a mom. And so for her, her son is 6 years old, six years old. Actually, I think, six. Her son's 6 years old. So she is a mom of, in her early years of motherhood, and also but it became a tug of war where she wanted to be present with her son, but then she also wanted to pursue and continue to uphold the career that she had worked so hard for. So where for her, she knew that something needed to change. She was like, my days have to look vastly different by my next birthday, which was November. And so her and I, what we did was we started to really redefine, like, what is success for her? Because a lot of times we are taught that, here, check all of these boxes, get a high school degree, get a college degree, get a job that pays well and has benefits and 401k, find a spouse, get married, have kids, buy a house, and then retire. And then this is what success looks like. And a lot of us in our 40s, 50s are looking at all the boxes that we've checked and we're still feeling unfulfilled. And that's because we are going after a path that has been told to us versus us taking a step back and asking, well, is this what success looks like for me? So that's where we really had to start, was identifying, like, what was success for her? And for her, it was, yes, staying within her career, but changing the hours that she was held accountable to. So for her, it was scaling back more to a part-time role versus being in that leadership position. And then also for her, which she did a lot of work. So I can't take, like, I was there to guide her and support her along the journey, but this woman showed up for herself every single day. So she moved mountains, and it was such an honor to be by her side. She really worked through, like, a lot of times we identify ourselves with our title and our career. And so she did a lot of the internal work to detach the identity from that career and allow herself to really see, like, identify with what she values. And so when we identified what her success was, what the definition of that was, we also layered in what her core values are. Now, this is critical, and it's one of the first steps I always do with my clients, because if we aren't really clear on our non-negotiables, that's what your core values are. Core values very rarely change over the course of your lifetime. Values, like, there's things that you can appreciate and enjoy that shift, but your core values, your absolute non-negotiables in life, are really things that have been with you for pretty much your whole life. And once we identified what those five core values were for her, then she was able to really help filter all of her decisions through that. And she was able to more unapologetically go down certain routes that before she may have been in her head a little bit more. Like, I'm going to log off at 3 o'clock because for her, one of her core values was nature and being in nature. And so she would log off at a certain time so that she could go to the beach and spend time with her son. And so it's really making sure that she's allowing herself to set those boundaries, keep the promises to herself, align on the, make sure that she's living a life aligned to her core values. And as a result, on her birthday, she worked with her employer because her employer did not want to lose her. They built a role for her that is part-time. She is now doing everything that she loved at her job is now the primary part of her role. And all the things that she didn't love is now not on her to-do list. And she is working 25-hour weeks. She's spending time with her kid. And now we take calls when she's walking around an arboretum. So her life has vastly changed. And she was in the driver's seat of what that looks like. And a lot of it, or all of it, came down to her being really honest on what success was for her.
Oh my God, I love that so much.
And I do too.
Love that so much. And it's always a blessing, isn't it, when we get clients that actually do the work. It's so beautiful to see, you know, it's so beautiful. I love that for her. I love that for her because I know for me, it was, I got to make six figures. And then when I got the six figures, I was like, oh, okay, maybe multiple six figures. Okay, multiple six figures. And it was like, oh, okay, a million. Okay, we'll go for a million. And I'm like, Nina, what the F are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, because I grew up very impoverished, right? So we grew up with nothing. Yeah. You know, we grew up with mom on welfare and you know, getting boxes of food from, you know, the government and all that kind of stuff, like back in the day. And so my mind was always set on, I'm not doing this when I get older. You know? And so I had set some belief systems up that really kind of hurt me in the end because I went for the six figures and the multiple six figures and I got it all. And then what did I do? I ended up getting all of these autoimmune conditions for working and never taking care of myself or, you know, being burnt out and not caring if I'm burnt out. I'm going to work anyway. Sleeping 2 to 3 hours a night for years. You know what I'm saying? And that kind of stuff. And I'm like, damn, was it worth it? Because now you're kind of like, now you're trying to reverse everything. You know what I mean? So success is so different to me right now, Jessica. It's just so
I agree.
Different.
And it's more whole. Mm-hmm. It's more whole. And I always say that, you know, COVID was horrible for so many reasons. And the silver lining, though, was that I feel that COVID really got all of us off our hamster wheel, all of us off of autopilot, and we started to see what life could be like outside of our desk, outside of this like 9 to 5, which keep in mind, the 40-hour work week was developed over 100 years ago. So it's like, we can maybe update that. So
I think we can actually, and especially with the help of AI and everything else. And I want, and you know, and I want the women who are listening to us just understand that, you know, you also have to switch your mindset. Like if you're coming into two things, one is you don't have to quit your day job. If you like your day job, don't quit it. You know, you can do this on the side if that's what you want to do. That's fine. I don't know why people have this all or nothing. We all do, right? We all have this in our nature, our all or nothing mentality. And the truth is you can be a workpreneur if you want to be. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And if you do decide to leave your 9 to 5 or your 9 to 9, as I call it, if you do decide to leave your 9 to 9, then at least understand that you also have to change your mindset from the employee mindset to the CEO mindset so that you can run your business well. I have teams now. I have to have my teams do all those things because I was burning myself out because I had them in. I was basically taking my job and just putting my job into my business. I was still working 9 to 9, 9 to 10, 9 to 11, right? And so something had to change. And I didn't want it to be my demise that made it change.
Yes. And I want to ask you, let me ask you something.
Sure.
And this is one of the things that I see come up with my clients a lot, right? Where you go in and you identify the things that you need to delegate and you delegate them. And then the key though is what do you fill that space up with, because one of the challenges that are the challenge that a lot of my clients have is they're like, oh, okay, well, this just means that now I can do more stuff. It's like, no.
That's so true.
When you freed up your time, did you find yourself allowing yourself to then just have space in your day?
Yes.
Or did you feel that you needed to fill it with other productivity?
In the beginning, I did feel like I needed to, you know, because I have to do what I love now, which is like work 9 to 9, right? So I had to actually pause from that, because it took me about a year though, Jessica. It wasn't like overnight I said, oh, I'm so magical. Look, I got it. No, it took me about a year. And what happened was is I gave all of my social media. I actually put a part in my business that's all for VAs for coaches, right? So I have VAs, the team that I have, but it took me a year to develop them and work with them and you know, all that kind of stuff. And they're on and running. So I don't even touch my social media except for DMs, because I like to answer those myself. But other than that, they do everything, right? So what did I do? I started filling it up with creating another course, putting another program together, making sure I have a webinar and a seminar and a virtual event and a blah, blah, blah. Yes, girl. That's what I did.
Yes. I know. It's a default. So that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I've been guilty of it too.
So true.
I've 100% been guilty of it. And it's where we have to remind ourselves that, like, where space is created, like, let that be a space for self-care.
Maybe go get a massage.
Maybe just lay down and read a book. Take a bath, you know?
Yeah. And at least, right, you know, put your I do a lot of time boxing now, right? So it helps me stay, it helps me stay focused. But the other thing was, looking at the gaps. I was talking to, I'll remember her name in a second. But anyway, she's one of the speakers on this event. And she was saying, Nina, look really quick at your schedule. She made me pull up the schedule. She goes, where do you see the gaps? And I'm like, holy shit, I have gaps. You know what I'm saying? Like, she goes, those are the gaps. That means you can go for a walk. That means you can meditate. That means you can read. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I was like, because I work because I'll keep working. I just won't stop. I won't look at my schedule. I'll just keep going. Right.
Yes.
So I have to train myself to go, oh, okay, my call now with Jessica Berg is going to be over in just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. I have a gap here. I'm going to go for a walk.
I love it.
Yeah, I am. As opposed to just going, oh, wait, I can get that program together right now while I'm. And so that was very helpful, right? To do what you're saying, which is pause, listen to your body, actually listen, because your body keeps the score, right? So your body tells you what's going on.
Yep.
I love that book. The body keeps the score.
Great.
And
one.
Then also, you know, just look at your schedule for real, for real. You always say you don't have time. Actually, you do. But what you're doing is filling it up with bullshit so that you don't have to go and do the things that you're supposed to do, that your body wants you to do. Let's be real.
100%. Right? One of the things that my mentor said to that just was like a mic drop moment, where she has said, you know, it's not that you don't have enough time. It's that you don't have your priorities straight.
That's it. That's
because it. We all have time. Time is not the issue. There's not a time scarcity thing. It's just that we are prioritizing the wrong things.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, girl, we'll prioritize fixing our desk before we prioritize our life. Come on now. You
know? Rolling through Instagram. Yeah.
Let me go fold that laundry that hasn't been folded for days. All of a sudden now when I have time. It's
an ongoing thing of awareness. Like even this morning, I had 10 minutes of, which doesn't always happen, where we didn't have to leave for school yet. And we weren't in productivity mode. The kids were dressed head to toe. Everything was set up. And I was like, oh, I have 10 minutes. Let me do the dishes. And then I stopped myself. I was like, or I could spend 10 minutes with my kids.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a default to have productivity, but we have to,
because it makes it so much better that you do those dishes in those 10 minutes. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, like at some point we just have to let's be. I do this thing in meditation called two paths, right? So one path takes you down, like, what are you like a year from now if you don't change? What are you like 5 years from now if you don't change? Well, what are you like when you're in your deathbed at the hospital and you don't change?
Yeah.
Right. And then the other road, of course, is if you do change and you make decisions, what does that look like? And I think sometimes we have to do that exercise to understand that pausing, being present. I don't care about these freaking gurus out here telling you that you got to work like a monster every 5 minutes. I don't give a shit. If that's what the life they want to live on their freaking plane somewhere, telling you to live your life that way. I don't give a shit. That's not how I want to. I don't want to live my life like that. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget this. This is what taught me the lesson. I used to be a private chef, right? And I did all of these really wealthy people. I used to be their chef and they used to love me, come over, blah, blah, blah. And I remember one time I went to this woman's house. The house was amazing. And I'm like, this is probably the most beautiful house I had ever seen. It was on the water. It was absolutely stunning. She looks at me and she goes, you want it? And I'm like, ha, 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 that's so funny. She goes, no, seriously, do you want it? And I'm like, come on, stop, you know? And she was like, okay, Nina, we pay $30,000 a month in mortgage. You know, we pay this, we pay that, we pay this. Me and my husband barely talk because he's working all the time or traveling. Mm. She goes, so if you want the house, I'll freaking give it to you for me to have a simpler life. Mm. And that really hit me because I'm like, oh, hold on, Nina, maybe coveting, this was years ago, maybe coveting people's things is not good, because I was going back to my little home, my little 1800 square foot home, super happy. Because I had a great husband. My kids were doing well. I was great. Like, okay. All right. Reality check set in. And I realized, why don't you just chase after the things you want, Neen?
Yeah.
And stop chasing after the things other people have that they don't even want.
Yeah. And relish in what you have.
Yes. Yes.
That's my mantra. Yes. That is my mantra. It's like, trust that. Continue to trust that all the dreams will come true and relish in the ones that are already here. Like, I dreamed of having my children, and it wasn't like my husband and I went through, you know, we had miscarriages. And so it's like,
those are your babies.
Yeah. And so it's like, these are things that I dreamed of. I dreamed of having, like, being living somewhere with palm trees. And it's it's allowing yourself to not forget that the dreams that have already come true, and allowing yourself. And that's when you, what I have found too, is that when you allow yourself to pause and when you allow yourself to really, like, relish and enjoy what you have, the abundance that you feel is like overflowing. And guess what? Yeah. When you feel abundant, when you feel like so content and happy and full, that is magnetic energy that people are going to like things are going to come to you. When you come from a place of scarcity and like, oh, I don't have enough clients, or, oh, I, you know, I need to make more money. It's, that is like, that is a rejecting energy. So there is that, when you allow yourself to be present and feel that abundance, it's, the energy is magnetic.
And that's really true, isn't it, Jessica? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people are like, oh, that's, you know, it's woo-woo or it's BS. It's actually true. Because I was the one of those people that were, I'm very logical in my thinking sometimes. Yep. And so I was like, oh, that's too woo-woo. I'm not doing that. And then I started doing it and attracting all this shit to my life. And I'm like, wait, I'm doing that. I'm going to be doing that. I'm attracting all that good stuff. Yes. So Jessica, talking about good stuff, I want to wrap this up with you telling them what you have for them, and how they can contact you, work with you, all that great stuff, because who wouldn't want to work with Jessica Berg? Like, seriously.
Thank you.
All right. So let's do it.
Thank you. All right. So as far as what I have to offer, I did a masterclass last year, at the end of last year. And it is basically a 1 hour class where it is Surviving to Thriving is the name of it. And it helps walk you through all the steps that I take my clients through. From identifying what your core values are, like I said, that's step number one, to there's a guided meditation in there to help envision the vision of the dream state life that you want to step into. And then it really helps identify like some of the structure and the boundaries that you can put in place to bring that dream state to life. So that is the masterclass that I have available. It's only is available to you for forevermore. But it's not something that I share publicly. So I'm very, very excited to share that with you guys. And then as far as like working with me, I do have a 12-week cohort that's coming up next month that I'm launching. It's primarily focused on high achievers in tech to support them in finding freedom in their success. And it's really about, you know, we talked about it today, but it's like redefining what success looks like, how you pursue it, and how you experience it, so that you can hit your career milestones without sacrificing yourself or your personal life ever again. So, and that's a group and one-on-one, which I'm pretty freaking excited about because I like the group style. I haven't done group before. I've only done one-on-one, but I get so much out of any of my own group coaching experiences that I've had. So that's everything. And thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to me. And please connect with me. I'm human. And like we've been talking about, it's all about surrounding yourself with like-minded people, and you're not in this alone. So I'm happy to support in any way possible.
I freaking love that. And you know, I wanted them to catch this too. You niche that down, right?
Oh yeah, I did.
Women in tech. That's so smart. So smart. Like people always say to me, hey, you know, can you teach me? I'm like, well, what do you want to do? Oh, I want to do this like brick and mortar. I'm like, no, I can strategize with you because I've done brick and mortars, but that's not what I do. I help women create coaching businesses from concept to launch and automate their systems.
I love that.
Yeah. And like, they're like, oh, but you can't help me. I'm like, girl, no. I guess if I start doing everything, I'm going to be speaking to no one. I can't do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I love that you said that because I was like, and I'm speaking to a woman in tech. Like, you got to get it together. All right. Get it together. She just showed you how to do it.
I mean, here's an example. If someone came to me who is in like, who's a doctor, and God knows people in medical are stressed, burnt out. I have never experienced that. So I'm not going to understand what your life looks like. But if you're in corporate tech, I know what you're dealing with. So.
Right. Exactly. And that's what I mean. Like, and that's the other thing too, right? You're bringing your wisdom into your business to create that wealth for you, whatever that wealth means, right? Being with your kids, whatever wealth means to you. And I think that's what women have to understand. Listen, you guys have all the talents already. You have the God-given gifts. You have all of it already. What you need is a coach that's going to help you look at it, outline it, and say, oh, wait a second, maybe I'm going about this wrong. Because Jessica, when I first started, I have 20 plus years in leading teams in corporate, culinary, all of that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And when I got into coaching, I felt like I didn't know anything. Like all of a sudden I felt like, oh, this is a whole new world. So I got to leave all of my expertise behind. So I was like, what are you doing? You have 20 plus years of like expertise. Why are you leaving that on the table like that? Yes. You know? So interesting how we do that. We just split our brains and start thinking differently. But thank you so much for being here and hanging out at the Women Who Lead Summit. It's been an amazing experience, and I'm so grateful to have you. So I want to have you back on to the podcast because this was a great conversation. Okay, good.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I'm going to also like look at your gift too, because I love supporting and watching and learning. So I appreciate you so much, Jessica. Aww, I really do.
Right back at That's you, so Nina. Good. Thank you.
So good. Women, I told you, right? I know. She's awesome sauce. Make sure that you guys follow her and all of that great stuff. And if some of you are really like, I really like Jessica, she's talking my language, why don't you go ahead and connect with her, hop on a call with her and see if she's the coach for you. Because one of the reasons why we're doing this is we got to make sure that you are not on this journey alone. And there are amazing speakers and stuff on here like Jessica, and they all want to just help you. That's why they're doing this. I mean, I didn't pay them to be here. They actually wanted to, from their heart, give you a gift and support you on your journey for 2025. Because let's be real, 2025 cannot look like 2024. We cannot do that. We have got to make it better. So thank you guys for being here. I love you so much. This is Nina Perez, and this is the Women Who Lead Summit. Until next time.